Blog Talk Radio.
Very simple. All of a sudden, we got a bunch of people writing in. This guy here comes, I don't know, maybe he comes sniveling to the people, comes and cries, woo-hoo, Roddy Piper didn't give me a chance to say nothing on the bit. Roddy Piper didn't give me a chance to do nothing. You want a chance? Everybody wants to be like Roddy Piper. You want a chance? You want a chance to say something, brother? I'll tell you what, man. Here you go. Take the little microphone. There you go. There you go. Put it in the little greasy paws. You want to do something? Then you go ahead. You say exactly what you want to say to these people. You can do it. Just a second. I want you to wait a second. I want to make you feel at home. Before we start, you want to be the big shot. You want to do all the talking. You want to really think all these people. Cut yourself a pineapple. Watch you feel at home. Watch you feel like the Fiji Islands. Kind of like the women, you know? Kind of long, frosty hair on top, round on the bottom. Cut your pineapple. You want to be a happy person? What do you want, huh? What do you want? Do you want bananas? Do you want to talk? Go ahead and talk, huh? Go ahead and talk.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Oh, shit.
welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host, Katrina. What's going on, Katrina?
Not too much, Ed.
And we have our other co-host on the line, Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Greetings and salutations, Edward. Long time no speak.
Yeah, it has been a few weeks here, and hopefully we can get back on a regular schedule after tonight. But I've been wanting to talk about Roddy Piper for the last couple of weeks. I mean, the first time we didn't do a show was actually the night he died, and I think that would have sucked having to do a show right after finding out he died. So I'm kind of glad we skipped that week. Unfortunately, the last week we couldn't do it, and this week I want to talk about
I started
about
up
a
last
about,
week. Nobody was here.
Oh, well, I didn't know what time you were getting on, and Craig said he couldn't do it at all, so I didn't want to be talking to myself for an hour and a half, and then you show up for the last 2 minutes, so I didn't do a show. So that's why we didn't have a show last week. But before we get to Roddy Piper, there's a big WWE story that I want to get to. It's causing some controversy, and one of the biggest stories regarding WWE in a long time. And that is, do you guys know that if you go to WWE Shop Zone, you can buy a Blue Pants t-shirt?
That means nothing to me.
Well, Jim, one of the worst t-shirts I've ever seen.
You know what? It's a horrible t-shirt, but it's still a t-shirt that she's going to make royalty money off. So, I mean, I think that's pretty cool. And those guys, the people, the fans at the NXT that go to the tapings, they're kind of weird. So I can see a lot of them buying the shirt. And I myself have placed an order, so, you know, maybe she'll make a little money. And maybe she'll do like Samoa Joe and sell out, and then they sign her for real like they did with Samoa Joe.
Never know.
Yeah, so everyone will
they
buy a
shirt.
They got a
big crowd next weekend, so maybe there'll be a lot of people buying shirts. So.
Yeah. Speaking of, that's one thing we can talk about a little later, whether the spoilers are real or if it's all like a aroused to like fake everybody out on the show coming up, but let's talk about the elephant in the room. Let's talk about how a member of this broadcasting team thoroughly embarrassed himself and ruined Raw this past Monday. And Katrina, your thoughts on the whole Craig just screwing up Raw, pissing off Kevin Dunn, and all of that.
Oh, is Kevin Dunn pissed off or something? I've not heard.
So yeah, he's like, supposedly he wouldn't show any replays of Craig after the incident because he was so appalled of Craig's behavior. And, you know, Craig's always talking.
Might not get picked for the next Tough Enough or something.
Yeah. It's funny, Craig's always talking about
it. It shocked the hell out of me when I was sitting there watching it. Because, of course, I paused it and rewound it like 5 times. Make sure I was seeing what I was seeing. Saw himself on the screen. So, I liked it. It was funny. I like it being a serious angle or anything. His angle would go with Stardust and the green fucking arrow. So,
Yeah, well, Craig is always talking about work rate, and part of being work rate is to adapt to the situation and to react to the situations. And Craig should have been... You know, he should have been such a good worker that he should have gone into work mode and been serious and had a concerned look on his face like, oh, my God, what's going to happen next? And, no, he had to ruin it for everybody.
Mm. The angle involving Barrett, it was no big deal. Yeah. No.
Not to mention, I wasn't working that evening. I was there as a fan. So.
He was not a seat filler. He was, bought the ticket.
That's right. I was not a seat filler. I was a fan.
The thing he probably knows that section is comped, and they're like going to check and see who's who got those tickets for you guys, and somebody might be having heat backstage or something.
I doubt it.
I didn't realize I knew he was going to the show. I didn't realize he was sitting so close.
I didn't either. Yeah, you never know. With comp tickets, you never know until you get there and get to the box office. I mean, they're usually on the hard camera where the hard camera is on that side because they don't sell, like, most of that section for the camera. So we usually set up in the bleachers, and it's just been, like, once or twice that we've actually sat on the floor, and those were the best comp tickets I've ever had, second floor, or second row, excuse me. One time at a house show, we actually sat front row, but anyway, yeah, they were awesome seats, and I took advantage of the situation.
So, he's been erased from history like the black guy at the Undertaker, Brock Lesnar, has been erased from history. You ever notice that?
Yeah.
They've taken him out of that video. Maybe he was moved with some, or too black, I don't know.
Jeez.
I can't wait to see, because they're going to do the match at SummerSlam. Since they're going to do the match at SummerSlam, I wonder if Craig is going to make an appearance on the video package, or it's going to be all the other angles and Craig not be in it, even though that's like the best close one.
I don't know. Well, Vieira has gone and injured himself while he was training, so
yeah,
it's kind of iffy.
He might have broke
the
spine.
No, he's not hurt that bad. He's fine.
He suffered a cracked jaw. His molars were indented into his tongue, and his tongue is swollen. Sounds like he might have
broken
his jaw.
It's no picnic.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, we
shall see.
And, God damn it, I lost my train of thought. I was going to make something. It's another crack at Craig, but I guess I'll think of it later. But,
my mom
is going to
watch
it
next Sunday.
Hold on, dude. How did you enjoy sitting with Supersonic, if I'm not mistaken? He was part of your group?
That is correct. He sat on the end, so I didn't hear much of him. So.
Well, I'm sure you heard some of it, so give me some stupid Sonic lines, dude.
No, I'm telling you, I heard none of it. He was on the other side.
Oh, lucky you. So. Lucky you.
Well.
Was he doing Spring Row 9 or something?
I don't know.
We can talk more about this later, but we can go ahead and get back to Roddy Piper, because it seems like every time we do a show this year, because we haven't really done a whole lot, it seems like somebody's dying, like Tommy Rogers dies, Buddy Landell, Vern Gagne, Dusty Rhodes, now Roddy Piper. And this was kind of a shock to me, because Roddy Piper, he's one of those guys that you think about it and it's like, how did he last this long? And because he had lasted this long, you think he's just going to last forever and die, like live to be like 95, 99. So honestly, it was kind of a shock to me, because I just thought him and like Jake the Snake are just like bulletproof, or just they're immune to everything. Fortunately, that didn't happen and he had a heart attack. It was a shock to me. How big of a shock was it to you guys when you heard it? Because, like, I just put it on Facebook, and the next thing I know, I see, like, about 20 different posts in a row all about Roddy Piper being dead, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on here?
Well, like, once before, Ed told me the news without telling me the news. He said, I guess we got to do a show on Piper, and I said, oh, fuck me, when he sent me a PM. Immediately, I knew what he was talking about and said, oh, shit. Not again. So, yeah, it was very shocking. I mean, it's like, I don't know, it's like, even Dusty Rhodes, man, it's a weird year. You know? It was the biggest
totally.
Of all time.
I was at the ocean last weekend. We were down in Oregon. On the coast, and my cell service was pretty rotten. And finally, sometime late in the evening, I finally got a cell reception and was able to check my voicemails and emails and all that stuff. And then it was way after the fact. I was like, wow, that's pretty insane. Sad. You know, because, you know, like Kudrow said, he's been around forever, and you just, there's those guys that you feel like are invincible, and those guys that that you just figure are going to be around forever. It's like Keith Richards from the Rolling Stones. It doesn't matter what he does to himself. You know, he could shoot heroin in his eyeballs and he would be fine, you know. And And Piper just, you know, he's been so lucky not to succumb to any of his past or anything like that. And you just figure he's going to, you know, go on forever. But, you know, time catches up with everybody, I guess.
Let's remind you how old you're getting. You know, you guys are starting to dial.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I guess we can start because we all started watching wrestling at different times, so I'm sure we'd all have a different answer to this question. And basically, what was the first time you ever saw Roddy Piper? And for me, that would have been very early on. I can't think of the exact year, but basically, when I started seeing Roddy Piper for the first time, he was not actually wrestling. He was doing color commentary with Gordon Solie on Georgia Championship Wrestling. And he was good, but he wasn't like a blatant, totally heel, but you could tell he was heel, and it was just kind of different. And he was actually really good at it. And then the first thing I remember is him doing commentary on a Bob Armstrong match. And in the match, he's describing Bob Armstrong, and he makes the comment that he has thoroughbred legs or horse legs or something to that effect. And it was kind of like a compliment, but in a way it's kind of like a, you know, a little smirk. And apparently Bob Armstrong heard about this and he didn't like it. And he would confront Roddy Piper about it. And then they got into it and got into a big feud. And it was pretty awesome. That's the first time I remember Piper as a commentary before being a wrestler.
I believe the first time I saw him was first videotape ever rented was at Lords of the Ring, Pro Wrestling Illustrated videotape, back in 1985. And they had the dog collar match with he and Greg Valentine from Starrcade 83, which is probably one of the most memorable matches of the 1980s at that point. And I remember watching that match, and I'd never seen nothing like that before in my life. He was whipping each other with his chains and with the chain and his ears busted open all to hell. And, you know, it was awesome.
When he had the chain under Valentine's nose and was just pulling the shit out of it, that was just...
He had it over his eyes and his mouth at one point.
Oh, he was rubbing it back and forth over the mouth? I mean, that was pretty fucking brutal. I just remember Gordon Sully, back to the ear.
Yeah, because that was pretty hardcore when he messed his ear up. You know, and I know he messed his ear up they put it over he got destroyed in an earlier match, and he was targeting the ear, and the ear was all bloody, and oh my God, what is this?
Yeah, and then Piper was he was real shaky as far as walking or trying to move around. But you mentioned it was the first videotape that you ever rented, and it's also the first videotape that I ever rented, and I wonder how many people. That's the first videotape that they ever rented because, I actually want to think that the percentage of that's pretty fucking high because, you know, that is back in the days where not everybody had a VCR. I mean, I actually ordered the fucking VHS tape. We didn't even have a VCR at the time. We had to go rent one from freaking Radio Shack or whatever to watch my 30-minute tape that I ordered in the mail. And, I guess for anybody who was a wrestling fan in that early 80s, I'm guessing that is the first videotape. That's the videotape that started it all, that started DVDs and now everything else.
It was maybe the first one that they had at the store, you know?
Yeah.
Back when the VCRs were first coming out. Maybe the VCRs came out a little bit earlier, but still, you know.
Yeah.
I remember when the VCRs came out and you went to stayed with my grandmother and went to places where they rent videos. The line was around the corner to rent a video just because you could. Didn't matter what they had. You was going in there, you was going to rent something. It didn't matter what it was. It didn't matter if you had something you liked, but you were renting a movie, damn it, and watching it at home. I think that's when I first became a big fan of Godzilla because I think that was maybe one of the ones we rented, because we just had to rent something. So we got one of the old Godzilla movies, and and fell in love with that stuff at that point.
Much like you guys, that probably was the first VHS tape I ever purchased through mail order. There was none of this go to the website and order it. No, you had to actually, you know, send them money, you know.
And yeah. Wait your 8 weeks for delivery.
Yeah, here's a personal check that my mother, you know, made out for me, and I sent it
and
away.
And you waited and waited every day.
Yeah. Waiting for the check to clear number one.
And it took every day of those 6 to 8 weeks for it to get there.
Oh, I feel like we lived like Neanderthals back then. I can order something. I ordered some DVDs like 2 days ago, and they've already shipped. So, you know, it's like amazing nowadays.
Yeah. I started watching wrestling right after WrestleMania 1. So I was a little bit late to the game. But Piper was always on there. And I don't remember any real big angles because they were just coming off Mania. And that was kind of, you know what I mean? There's that lull between Mania.
It was kind of a blow off and things kind of calmed down a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. So honestly, what I can remember is that Lord of the Rings. That Lord of the Rings DVD was, or excuse me, VHS was definitely my first exposure to Piper. And we didn't start getting Portland Wrestling in Washington State until years and years later, and he would only be on sporadically at the time. He would come in and just be on for a little while. It wasn't like he was there all the time, you know. He was in Portland.
Yeah, he was there with WWF, and he would pop in every once in a while or something.
Yeah.
But, it would have been when he would have owned the muffler shop with the grappler, wouldn't it have been?
That must have been. I mean, yeah. I was, you know, obviously a little kid then, so I'm just, you know, guessing. But yeah.
The one thing with Piper in the Pacific, because I never really got to see the Pacific Northwest as far as TV or anything, just reading about it. To me, that was like the one place when he was young where he was more of a baby face than a heel, as compared to when he was California, he was a heel. Canada, he was a heel. Pretty much everywhere else, he was a heel. But the one thing, a clip I remember seeing on YouTube one time, and I'm sure Couture's probably seen this. I don't know if you would have seen it, Craig, but basically him and a very young Rick Martel are, you know, cutting in the studio, cutting a promo, and Roddy Piper is, you know, he's doing the promo because Rick Martel is not really the talker that Piper is, so he's letting Piper, you know, do the talking. Piper's going on and on and on, breaks out a bottle, and he breaks the bottle over his head and cuts himself really bad, and the next thing you know, he is just got blood just covering his face, pouring down. Rick Martel is looking at him like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And, he just keeps going on with his promo, which was already crazy as it was, and now he's covered in blood after busting himself open with a bottle, and it was pretty freaking amazing, honestly, if you ever see it.
Mm. Yeah, one of these days we should actually, you know, get one of those old YouTube clips like we did with the Memphis stuff and do a review on an old Portland episode. Could be kind of interesting.
I remember
something about him cracking himself over the head with the bottle and busting himself open. I didn't ever get to see much Portland. I remember there was like this one awesome thing where I think Buddy Rose turned babyface and all the fans hit the ring and picked him up on their shoulders or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I recall that. But I guess he must have been under that 217 pounds at that point. I don't know. You know, he was 217 for I think his whole career, even though I know that blow away diet does wonders, I guess. You know.
It does. He was still on it.
But I think that's really the only, I've actually got a few Portland things up on my YouTube channel. I can't really remember what they are at this point. I think it was when Raven was there.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that? When Raven, when he was Scotty the Body or something like that?
Yeah.
Something. is up there.
Yeah, that's like what I watched a little bit before.
I never really got into it. I've watched some of it online, but I never really thought it was that good of a stuff, I guess.
Yeah, it was very low rent. I mean, it was it wasn't the best. I'll be honest. I know there's people that just rave about it, but you know what I mean. It's like,
I mean, if I watched it when I was growing up, I'd probably be really into it. But
right,
you know,
exactly.
It wasn't what you'd call a working territory as far as a lot of good workers. Because, you know, you had Buddy Rose. Buddy Rose is like the best worker. And then you got Michael Miller, Bobby Jaggers, your assorted Moondogs, Schaefer's. It wasn't a technical wrestling territory.
Okay.
Oh, they did have a lot of people come through, like Dynamite Kid and Kurt Hennig and stuff like that kind of got their starts in Portland. So
a lot of people passed through.
Yeah, a lot of people passed through.
And, Katrice, maybe you remember this. Did Roddy Piper, did he give Art Barr the Beetlejuice gimmick? The juicer gimmick?
Well, in that storyline, he created the Beetlejuice. I'm not sure if it was like, you know, Piper, like in real life, gave him the gimmick, or it was just
that,
like in the storyline.
Yeah,
where he came out and like put the Beetlejuice makeup and stuff all over Art Barr, which really where Art Barr first got his notoriety. Well, he got other notoriety in Portland for something else, but that was like the wrestling stuff.
And then that happened, and he went to WCW with the juicer gimmick, and I liked the juicer gimmick. I thought he was awesome at it, and it was a lot of fun. And then, unfortunately, people wrote letters and got him in trouble there, and then that's when he went to Mexico and then became, you know, the Love Machine. But, yeah, so Piper was a big...
20 years later, you know, they had a guy doing a gimmick called the juicer in wrestling, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But
although getting that rape charge and stuff, that in a way it kind of maybe helped his career. I don't know if he would have been going to Mexico and stuff. You know, because he was suspended. I know in Portland because he lied on his wrestling license application or something like that about never being arrested or something, and they were just like looking for anything to, you know. To get him out of the ring, and then he could only do. He would still wrestle, but it would be like, I think like in some of the spot shows where there was no commission. So the commission rained hell on Portland wrestling back then, man. I mean, they got destroyed.
The commission was ridiculous, and that's why, you know, for years the WWE wouldn't come here and down there as well, and. A lot of, like, Sandy Barr would take, he'd take your shows on the road, and they would end up at a lot of the casinos and on tribal land and things like that where there was no commission. The commissions were null and void, and so you could pretty much get away with anything there.
There were some shows I know that they did that they called them, they weren't wrestling shows, they were exhibitions, so they got to, like, bypass the commission. The wrestling commission, so.
Yeah.
And there's another, speaking of breaking a bottle over, that's not actually the only interview where he's done that. I don't know if you would have seen this, Couture, but, and it's hard for me, I almost want to say it happened after he went to WWE, but it had to have been before, because it was on Georgia. And basically, they're doing like a vignette, basically, where there's a cameraman, and he's, like, in the woods, and he's, like, wandering around, looking back and forth, you know, like, looking for somebody. And then in the screen, you see some legs hanging, and you realize there's somebody hanging. And then slowly the camera goes up, and you see Roddy Piper is being hung by a noose, and then he looks like he's dead, but then he just, like, comes to life real quick, and then starts cutting the promo and then breaks a bottle over his head while he's there hanging with on the noose and stuff. And
was this when he put a promo like on Bud Sawyer?
It was on Bud Sawyer. But for some reason, I always thought it happened later. Like maybe did he ever leave the WWE like shortly after he started? And then was there ever like a break, or did it had this totally happen before you went to WWE?
He went to WWE. He started at least in January of '84 because he was there when Hogan won the title, which would have been January, right, of '84. So I don't know. Actually, I think that clip may be on my YouTube channel in that, you know, that session I got on Georgia. And actually, I'm looking at a video, and it's August 1983. I'm looking at the video right now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, it was crazy.
If anybody wants to go to my YouTube channel, they can check that out. He's got something. He's got a yellow shirt that says Bud Sawyer on. He's got something around his neck. And so that was in August of '83. So that had been well before. That was even before Starrcade. So.
Yeah, okay. For some reason, I always thought it was after, but that's just my memory. But, yeah,
the big angle was remember when Don Morocco was pushing Gordon Solie around, and you know that was his broadcast partner. Even though he was a heel, you know, you could tell that he should have respect for Gordon Solie, and that's where he turned babyface and then take Don Morocco.
Yeah, that was actually really, really well done, and because it was kind of a surprise.
It was years later. It was in 2000. They kind of did the same thing with, Taz and Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler jumped in. Do you remember that angle?
Yeah, I remember that. Then Taz got something in his eye.
Well that was just during the match. And, Jared said something. I think he called Taz a scumbag or something during the match when he was a heel or something. And Taz came out and was browbeating him. He said, he did the line. He said, I would slap you across the face, but it looked like God already beat me to it. pretty bad line. And then he's telling JR to just go ahead and hit me right in the face, old man. And then Lawler just stepped in right there and punched him right in the nose. It was awesome. Mm-hmm.
The thing with the Roddy Piper angle with Morocco is Morocco left right after this happened, and then they transitioned it to somehow Piper feuding with Ole.
I can't remember. I'm not sure because I only heard some stuff back then. I'm not seeing a lot of stuff from back then.
Okay. I also think they used that as part of the reason how they were also like, because at the time, Ole was teaming with Stan Hansen. And I think what happened is they ended up kind of like Morocco left, they transitioned it to Ole, but also the angle still involved Gordon Solie, and then Stan Hansen got pissed off because he didn't think that was right, Ole talking or picking on Gordon Solie. So that kind of is like one of the reasons they kind of broke up and shit. So, yeah,
mm-hmm.
If something could happen, they could tie it in. Like, they would tie it into it. Like, they didn't leave you hanging back in the day. They do something, and then you think, okay, they're going to come back to this lawsuit or this or that, and then it never happened. Back then, they dotted the I's and crossed the T's.
And they didn't have like in WWE, they would have something that, you know, needed to explain it. They do it on like the fucking website instead of on TV. Get some random video with Michael Cole on the website or something like that, you know. So.
But, you know, basically the majority of the people listening would know Piper from his WWE run. And he's remembered as like he's one of the best heels ever of all time. And he's remembered as this big bad guy. But honestly, was what, that guy maybe one-fifth of his WWE career, if that?
He was from '84. He was probably he was a heel for like 2.5 years, because it was like late '86 when he came back and did the thing with Adonis.
So then, for basically the next 28, 29 years, he was a babyface.
Yeah, really, his WWE career was like, let's see, 84 to, what, 87 was the first run. So that'd be about three and a half years. Then he came back in 89, and he left in, his 89 to, I want to say like 92 run. I know he came back and forth, but I'm just talking like really solid runs as you know, like a wrestler. So it's probably, his full run probably would have been about maybe 7 years altogether. So, as a wrestler.
Now, what did you guys prefer Roddy Piper as a full-blown heel, or did you prefer the babyface Piper?
I really got into it. He was phenomenal as a heel. He was so great as a heel, yeah, almost my babyface. You know, that's the way things kind of went back then. But as a heel, I mean, he could get so much heat. I mean, he just blister you with some of the shit he says, and he wouldn't hold back. No matter what color you were, what race, you know, what gender you were, you were going to touch on something. So,
yeah, definitely him working as a heel. It was pretty fantastic. I mean, his promos were just out of this world. Gosh, even like later when he was in WCW, there towards the end of the actual wrestling career when he was working Hogan in the main events. He was so good on the mic. You have to love him as a heel.
Yeah, he was great as a heel.
He was the perfect guy for that whole rock and wrestling thing to be the heel. I don't know if there's anybody else that would have been the perfect, you know, to be at the to be in the main event of that thing. I mean, he just had the personality for it. I don't think anybody else would fit.
He was perfect because he was so outrageous, but at the same time, he was so serious.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was like a combination of mm-hmm. both. He could be so outrageous, but he was so good at it, you still took him serious. And you mm-hmm. legit, you know, he'd say stupid shit, but you'd still, like, legit be scared of the guy because you'd know he's fucking, basically... And, you know, he's, like when he, like, beat the shit out of Snuka and just whooped him and just, you know, making fun of fucking coconuts and pineapples. And
yeah.
And then, like, when he was in, before he went to WWE early on, when he was in California, he wrestled the Chavo Guerrero, and he used to just lay in with all the Mexican insults and just come out with outrageously stupid things, but just, he's doing it in such a way that you're taking it serious, and it's like you want to kill the dude and stuff.
I remember seeing the old aftermags, like the pictures when he lost the hair match to Chavo and he shaved his head bald. I remember seeing pictures of that a long time ago. So
yeah, that was a long time ago. That was like freaking 30 plus years ago.
It was like in the 70s, wasn't it? Late 70s?
Yeah. It happened before I started watching. I remember
he was like the first person I ever saw would do anything to Andre the Giant. Remember they had the confrontation on Piper's Pit where you just like pick him up by his collar because he was just like being a complete dick to him, and he thought he was too stupid to see what he was doing, and he just picked him up by the collar and just lifted him up in the air with one hand. And they went and they had the tag match with Andre and Jimmy Snuka against Dave Schultz and Roddy Piper, where he brought out the brass knucks and actually busted Andre open, and they had to take him out of the match. I think it was in Madison Square Garden.
And as far as Piper just being a total fucking dick, I got another short clip here that I'm going to play for the next 2 minutes.
Being the kind of person that I am, and I like to give everybody a fair break. What I'm doing out of the kindness of my heart, I have a gentleman here named Frank Williams. Frank Williams, first of all, I don't know where you come from.
I'm Columbus, Ohio.
From Columbus, Ohio. I've wrestled in Columbus, Ohio. I've never lost a match in Columbus, Ohio. Have you ever lost a match?
Yeah.
You have. See, it seems odd to me
when you're talking about fighting careers and a career like my own, myself, I went on the premise of never having to lose a match. I've never lost a match in my whole career. I've had different things happen to me, but I have never actually lost a match because I figured once you were defeated one time, that it would take that oomph away from you that you need. Yourself, you're just the opposite. I have never seen you win a match in my whole career of watching you, and I've seen you been around. You've fought some tremendous fighters. I've seen what you've done, but you lack the guts. You lack the authority to go in there. You lack the guts, and when you're against the ropes, what you do is instead of going after a man, you just back off from him. Maybe a little cowardism. Maybe what you do, maybe you should be making pizzas.
I'm not a coward of nobody. I'm not afraid of nobody. Otherwise, I won't
wait
be down.
Wait a second. Just relax, relax. This is verbal. This is not physical. Pizzas or something like that. Maybe.
I said, I'm not afraid of nobody. I'm always inside the ring, no matter what. I got no room for nobody.
You got no room for nobody. That's a wonderful thing. You got no room for nobody, but you're a lousy wrestler. It's as simple as that.
I might be a lousy wrestler, but I'm still in there. I got not afraid of nobody.
Piper hammering away. Oh, no. Piper all over Frank Williams. Puck. Unbelievable.
It's simple as this.
Oh. Oh, no. Oh. That's incredible. Oh.
They think they got the answers. I changed the question.
Yeah, I remember that. That was like on one of the, one of those first tapes, the best of the WWF, I think, or something like that was on there. So.
Eddie, you with us?
Yeah, I'm back. I got disconnected there for a second.
Okay.
I was saying that that was probably on one of the first volumes of the WWF Best Of. That was actually probably the second tape I rented ever.
That had the Frankie Williams energy?
Yeah. And
that was
kind of revolutionary at the time he was doing it. I mean, it was just, actually probably the best part of the show every week.
It really was, because they didn't, because it was all jobber matches, and this was something different, and it was usually exciting, like, when he killed Snuka. This one with Frankie, because he was such a dick, and then he said that great line about when you think you have the answer, that changed the question. And just so many great, like the one you said with Andre. I mean, that's one of the best ones ever. And then even when he turned babyface, they were still pretty good. And I don't think it was Piper's Pit, it was the flower shop, but he's the one that destroyed the flower shop with the baseball bat.
The week before, I think they were having like he was back to do Piper's Pit, but the flower shop had replaced it. I remember Orton was now Adonis's bodyguard, gave him the pink hat, pink cowboy hat, and
that's
everything.
That's right.
And they were going to do have some sort of contest, like have a duel, flower shop and Piper's Pit, and I think Orton and Morocco attacked him and busted up his leg. And stuff like that, and Adrian hit him with a flower pot or something. He came back the next week and destroyed the flower shop with a baseball bat. So,
I was just gonna say, I
actually, they brought that around the loop twice with Piper and Adonis. I got to see that match twice. I can't remember what the schmoz was, but the first months that they were here, it was either a count out or disqualification or something like that. So they brought it back the next month, and man, that Adonis could get heat. Oof.
What did you think it is? This is when you saw him, he was at his heaviest, okay? What did you think of his work rate, seeing him at the house shows?
It was amazing. He was, I recognize that he was a good wrestler, even though I was a mark. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that was when he was at his heaviest. I mean, did you ever see any of Adrian Adonis in his prime at his, he was always chubby, but did you ever see him like in his prime when he was just chubby and not fat.
I saw some of the stuff. It's like he was a biker. Gosh, it was probably a couple of years ago on YouTube. You know what I mean? But yeah, he's tremendous. He was tremendous, and him and Piper had such a great chemistry together. Because, quite honestly, two old school wrestlers. I mean, you know, old school before old school was cool, to be honest with you. But yeah, those guys just had really great, fun matches. And every night on that tour, as I remember, you know, it would all end up with Piper tearing off Adonis's skirt and him getting embarrassed. Not the fact that he's wearing a skirt, but you could see his wrestling trunks.
I think the correct term is moo-moo.
Yes. That's true.
Yeah.
That's something my great aunt wore around the house all the time.
Homer Simpson wore it one time on one episode when he was like,
yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Hey, Homer, your mom said to not go out of the house in your dress. Nuts to that.
That was a great gimmick, too. I love that gimmick. A lot of people hated it. I thought it was phenomenal. He played it so well.
Oh, yeah.
He did.
One of the first things that got over back then.
Yeah. And like I say, like people, there's different Adrian Adonises. There's that one who was at his heaviest. There's one that was, I say chubby, but I'll be honest, he was fat. But, like, Buddy Rose, but even more so, like, you know, Buddy Rose was big and fat, but he had an engine and he could go for a long time. Adrian Adonis had nitrous compared to what Buddy Rose had, because you would be so amazed. Like, on the wrestling gold, it's for the, from Southwest, trying to go, like, make their own territory, and they had a tournament for the first world champion. Main event is Adrian Adonis against Bob Orton Jr., and you would think Bob Orton Jr. is the one that's going to be in better shape, but he's the one that's blown up and stuck in there by the end of the match, and Adrian Adonis is going full steam the whole match, nonstop. I mean, and it was a long match. I mean, that dude was like the most in-shape, out-of-shape guy who ever lived.
Right.
He's the only guy I ever saw. He would take those. He would do those weird things, like when a guy would get his arms like caught in the ropes. He would go get caught in the ropes, but he would go out, do a 360 outside of the ring and get caught in the ropes. You know?
Yes.
It was like It was like really weird.
Yeah. And his feud with Piper was.
Go back and watch that WrestleMania 3 match with Ian Piper. That's the second best match on that show. I mean, that match was awesome.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah, and like I say, that's another angle where it's like so absurd, but Piper is bringing that serious element to it that you're still like so into it because you know he's going to kick his ass. And it's the same thing like years later when, not that they recreated, but maybe the same vein is when he had the WrestleMania match with Goldust, and they had the brawl in the parking lot, and then the O.J. Simpson chase, and then he took off his gear and he had like the lingerie. But I mean, that was so, like, because Goldust was so like whacked out at the time. You know, so many people didn't like it because it was so there. They just couldn't accept it at the time. But then Piper just brought that seriousness to it, and people were fucking into it because they knew Piper was just going to beat shit out of him. And I thought he almost was going to kill him when he hit him with that baseball shot that one time. I mean, he kicked him in his ass. But
that
was
awesome. Back and watch that Hollywood backlot brawl. He's letting them fists in as hard as he can. You go back and listen to that. I mean, he's smacking him right in the face. I mean, his knuckles are all bruised and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
You know, I've gotten to listen to Piper on a couple of different podcasts throughout the years, and he was recently on Adam Carolla's show. Maybe 2 months ago. And, you know, Roddy told the story of him growing up in Canada and how he had run away from home. His dad was the police chief of the town, and he was playing with a girl in the neighborhood, you know, when he was real small, and they had gotten wet, and so they had taken off their clothes and were warming themselves by the fire, and they're just little kids, you know. Her mother came in, and he was talking about how they had to move because of the scandal in the neighborhood, and he talked about living on the streets and renting rooms in a hostel. He said you had to come in early, pay 25 cents, and they'd give you a bed for the night and a sandwich and a glass of milk, and the next morning they would have you bacon and eggs, and then they'd kick you out. You couldn't come back for a full day. He would just play his bagpipes for money and started boxing at a local gym, and that's where a wrestling promoter saw him. And he said he went out there, his first match. I wish I could remember his name, but for some reason Leo McGurk comes to mind. But he went out there and wrestled him and didn't know what from what. And he got punched in the mouth, and it was like a, you know, 30-second match. And that was his first introduction into pro wrestling. And I think he made like 15 bucks or something like that. Anyway, if you go, just do a search of Rowdy Piper and his podcasts. Appearances, not the ones he did, but his appearances on his podcasts. He's really hard life, real interesting man. You just thought he was going to live forever because he had been through so much. But just a really, you know, wrestling attracts weird folks, and Piper was no exception to that.
Made his debut at the age of 15, he says here.
Yeah. Good grief. Crazy.
I think like Terry Gordy made his debut at 15. I think maybe Bobby Eaton made his at 14 or something. So, it's crazy.
Man, that's way too young.
That is crazy. Speaking of Piper doing like other shows, I once got to speak to him on Wrestling Observer Live a long time ago. This was, okay, one thing about Piper that was really weird is Roddy was the last guy, really, to break kayfabe.
Sure.
You know, he...
Yeah.
He never lost before, so, you know, so-and-so, and then it wasn't where he wasn't doing a job, but, you know, he went on, I guess he wrote a book or something, and then he went on Wrestling Observer Live, and he was actually breaking kayfabe. And I remember I got to ask him, about the, because you'd only hear bits and pieces, you never really heard the whole story, but there's a story about him and Kerry Von Erich being on the ledge of a building or something like that. And a lot of people wonder, you know, what was going on. There's like,
I remember you asking
it. Yeah, there's people think that maybe Kerry was trying to kill himself, like was going to jump off, and Piper was the one that talked him down, or what was going on. And this is, it's the type of story, especially for someone who doesn't break kayfabe, where he could have actually put himself over and kind of made something up, but he was actually pretty honest. He's like, look, I'd like to tell you that, you know, this happened. No, you know, we're good friends, and we just decided to go out there and smoke a joint and just bullshit and stuff. And then he said that's when Boss Man and Henning and somebody else came in the room and saw him and went and grabbed him and pulled him back in and shit. But it was just an honor just to ask him that and to hear like a story like that. That was pretty cool.
Well, they pulled him back in so they didn't drop all the dope out the window, is what it was.
Yeah. You know what's sad though is his clique, basically, he was the last one. There, his whole clique from back in the day is gone, you know? Boss Man, Kenny, Henning, Kerry, Rude. Except for Bret Hart, basically, and Flair, all his close friends have been gone for like a long time for the most part.
Yep.
Yeah. I got to meet Piper a couple of times. He was, how do I say this? He was not having one of his better days. Actually, both times I saw him. I'll leave it at that. So I didn't, you know how they say you never want to meet your heroes? That was definitely one of the times I met him. He just was in no condition to to even be walking, to be honest with you. So
yeah.
So my interactions with him were they bothered me.
Yeah, it wasn't when he was at his best, yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of time in later years, he would sometimes say some weird stuff. You didn't know if he was crazy or he was just putting on an act or something. Just to say something goofy.
Yeah, and you guys have heard the story about him and Brian. And,
yeah, I was just about to bring that up. Were you there when that happened?
I was not there. That was when they tried to kind of revive Portland wrestling.
That's when Brian had a Miss Rent-A-Own as his valet, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and Piper just basically drug him in the back and kind of threatened him, and
You're leaving out details, Craig.
Oh, I know.
Piper grabs Brian Alvarez, pulls him into the bathroom, locks the bathroom, turns off the lights.
Yes.
Turns off the lights, lights a lighter by his face, and then proceeds to tell Brian to tell Dave that he's going to burn Dave Meltzer's house down.
Yeah, I left all that stuff out.
And it was probably later on he's going to Observer Live and act like they were the best of friends. They never
According to Dave, every time he would talk to Piper, Piper would say, "Hey, it's the first time we've ever spoken," even though he's spoken to him a few times. So
I remember the first time the first time he was ever on the show, I brought up how that he heard Dave doesn't like him or something like that.
Yeah.
Or they had a problem or something. You know.
The funny thing is, if you get Buddy Wayne to tell the story, Buddy Wayne tells the story perfectly. And I know that he was just part of it, but the way Buddy tells it with a grin on his face, you know, and the way that Piper said goodbye to them at the end of the show, you know, "Hey, it's good to meet you," you know, and shaking his hand like nothing had ever happened. And Buddy just howled at that. He thought that was the funniest thing.
Yeah, Piper, he's just, the last few years, he's always come off like he just, maybe just wasn't all there. You know what I mean? Like the drugs it's obvious the drugs affected his mind in some ways. You know what I mean?
I know.
You know, he's one of those guys who, him and Jake the Snake, you know, they're two of the biggest well-known partiers, crazy guys. Like, one of my favorite stories is from Piper's book. And it was from Piper went to fucking, what the hell was that island in Puerto Rico where he lost the title to some local guy, because he got scared and thought the crowd was going to riot. And so he just got the hell out of there, left the title, everything. He just said, "Fuck it." So the NWA is, of course, is like, "God damn it, go back to the goddamn island, and you're going to win back the title, god damn it." So they sent him back, and they sent Piper with him, or Piper goes with him. And so Piper is seconding him in the match, and he's on the outside. And so Piper's having a match with this guy, and I can't remember his name. It wasn't Cologne. This is the other one, the other Phantom title change. And
with the Jake Veneno, is that who it was?
Yes, exactly, that guy. So
yeah.
So Flair throws him out of the ring, and Piper goes and he grabs him and he throws him back in the ring. And because it almost got out of hand the last time, there were armed guys, AK-47s, you know, doing security. And the next thing Ric Flair sees is that all these guys around the ring are pointing their AK-47s at Roddy Piper. And he's like, "God damn it, not again." And he basically lets the guy cradle him and beat him again. But this time, he took the title with him. So they're at the airport, at the bar at the airport, and apparently, according to Ric Flair from the book, that they have paid Flair so much money, and he's there with the title, and they have paid Piper in cocaine, and he has a big ass little mound of cocaine, and basically he does like the Scarface, and comes up after taking a big ass Scarface thing, and just tells Ric Flair, "We're getting too old for this shit." And that's the greatest story from the Ric Flair book.
That always sounded like the worst place to work out of anywhere. Puerto Rico. You're all about horror stories. People are throwing batteries. They're throwing baby's diapers and shit like that at you. Ugh.
Yeah, that's crazy. I'm sure the wrestlers didn't mind if they're getting paid in cocaine.
Oh, well, yeah.
Especially in the 80s and shit. But, any other Piper stories you want to talk about, Craig, as far as like an angle or this or just anything regarding Piper?
Oh, goodness. Phenomenal promo. One of the best. His eyes, when he was cutting promos, it told you everything you needed to know. Just massively intense, completely cut from the same cloth that Jake the Snake was cut from when it came to promos. I think those guys were top notch when it came to promos. I didn't see a lot of the early stuff, just mostly WWE stuff. Liked what I saw. He was always fun to watch. Nothing better than to see him wind up like he's going to throw a punch and then poke the man in the eyes. I mean, the Roddy Piper eye poke, legendary. You know what I mean? So I got a little nod to that on Monday when I was watching Orton and Owens during their match. I don't know if that was shown on TV. I don't think it was. But, he's crazy. There's not going to be enough for a long time. And, his influence, just watch Dean Ambrose work. And, that's pretty much it, man. I mean, he's one of the greats. I mean, we've lost Dusty a few months ago and then Piper, and that's a big chunk of my childhood. And to be honest, Hulk Hogan's pretty much dead, let's be honest. So that's my, Flair's kind of my, yeah, seriously, Flair's really the only, and by the way, the most sane. It seems. make of that what you will. But yeah.
Then you look at the three top promotions of the 80s, the AWA, the WWF, and the NWA. They all lost like their top guys this year, pretty much.
Wow. Sad.
Yeah.
Really sad.
But, for the 80s, he had in the NWA, he had Dusty and Ric Flair right there, the two top guys, Hogan and Piper, and WWF were the two top guys in the 80s. Doug Byrne was just always there. Didn't matter who was number two, but anyway.
Yeah. But, I just thought this popped into my head is, I played the Snoot Gun. That's one of his big famous feuds, or the feud with Snoot Gun, even before the Hogan one. But the Royal Rumble is always my favorite match of the year, and there's been many things that have made me mark out like an idiot during the match. And I'll never forget the one Royal Rumble for Jimmy Snuka with the surprise appearance. And Jimmy Snuka came to the ring, and standing in the center of the ring, mind you, ran wild on everyone without moving from the center of the ring. Everyone came to him, and including The Undertaker. And he laid waste to everybody. And then the bagpipes hit, and the crowd goes fucking apeshit, and Jimmy Snuka turns around with just this insane look in his eyes, and he can't believe it. And then Piper just cock attitude, comes walking down all slow, and finally takes his time, gets in the ring, and then he faces off with Snuka. And then they do a couple of spots, and then even give him the poke in the eye spot, and then CM Punk is laughing at him on the ground, and then someone kicks CM Punk right in the face because he was laughing at him. But it was just such an unreal moment. I mean, Snuka's eyes just, that's like one of those moments that is burned in my memory forever, and them going face to face as everybody looked at him in the ring.
I remember talking about Jimmy Snuka, I think. You know, that was the only time during that first run from 84 to 87 that Jimmy Snuka was the only guy to pin him in the match. And I think it was like a strap match or something like that. So he did lose one match during that first run.
He might have not have lost until he lost to Bret Hart. It seems like that one time.
He lost to Snuka during that first run. During that second run, I think the only people he lost to, you know, he had the feud with Flair, and they went around and did that. You know, they had in late 91, Flair first came in, and they worked together, and Piper did some jobs for Flair. And then, the big match with Bret Hart at WrestleMania 8 in Indianapolis. Yeah, I remember that. That was a great match, too.
That was a great ending because basically Piper's got Bret beat down, and Bret's just bleeding all over the place, and he's on his knees, and Piper's got the chair, and he's getting ready to swing the chair, but the fans kind of boo, so he kind of stops and gets ready to do it again, and the fans boo, and he stops himself, and he just stops himself, and he throws the chair out of the ring, and then he puts the sleeper on, and then Flair climbs the rope, slips over, and pins him. I mean, that was a fantastic ending.
It's wild, like, when he actually won that Intercontinental title, because he never won a title before. And I think Randy had been the champion for like 2 days. He won it from Bret Hart. Bret Hart like had 105 degree temperature or something like that, and he lost the match. And Piper came out and helped him at the end. And then they had at that Royal Rumble match. They had Piper beat Randy. And then he entered the Royal Rumble later on. It's just like Flair was finally the only one in the ring after most of the guys got eliminated, but there's still a lot of guys to come, and he's just tired as hell, and then the bagpipes hit, and he just looks like, oh, shit.
One thing we need to talk about we haven't brought up is one of the greatest B-movies of all time, cult classic. I played the clip from in the beginning of the show, and that is They Live, and just an awesome movie. Basically, somehow, Roddy Piper, or the character he's playing, comes in possession of some sunglasses that somehow allow him to see the world in a different light. Basically, you get to see it in black and white, and then you could see if there was an alien in disguise as a human, and they were ugly motherfuckers, and he just went on a rampage killing aliens with a couple friends and had that awesome fight scene in the movie where they had, like, some wrestling moves and stuff, and it's just this awesome long fight scene, and I don't know if you guys watch South Park, but on South Park, they recreated the fight scene move for move with Timmy and Jimmy, who are both physically handicapped. Timmy's in a wheelchair, and Jimmy has got crutches and has little tiny legs. But somehow these two crippled little kids, cartoon characters, did every move second from second to, like, the fight scene and They Live, and it was fucking awesome.
I remember the guy that he did the fight scene with is like, he narrated a bunch of that stuff on the network, I think. I think his name is Keith David. He's a black actor. If you've heard his voice, you know who he is. If you've seen him, you know who he is. But.
I quite frankly and quite honestly have never seen that movie. So your bashing can start now if you would like.
I think that's the main movie he's known for.
Yeah.
You should actually just.
But that's just from the name of the film.
Yeah. Well, that movie was made by somebody on acid. Have you ever seen it, Couture?
What? Welcome to Frogtown?
Yeah, Hell Comes to Frogtown.
No.
Okay, basically it's Roddy Piper fighting guys in these fake-looking big rubber frog suits. Katrina, you need to watch Hell Comes to Frogtown, and Craig, you need to watch They Live. I think you'd actually enjoy They Live.
I probably would. I've never sat down and, you know, there's a bunch of movies I've just never sat down and watched.
So well, that's one movie you need to put on the top of your list.
Body Slam was pretty good. I like Body Slam.
Is this the one with the Tonga Kid?
It was a Tonga Kid, and it had a guy from the A-Team, and it had Tonya Roberts. It was like a sex symbol back in the 80s or something like that. She was in the Beastmaster.
Was she the one from the 70s show, the mom from the 70s show, Charlie's Angels?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, they had her, the Tonga Kid, and Face, right, from the A-Team?
Yeah, sure was.
Yeah.
And I remember they had cameos by, like, Ric Flair and Bruno. And I know Captain Lou was, like, the lead heel, and he was the main bad guys were he and the Barbarian and, I think, T.J. Khan or somebody like that. And they had the I can't remember what that comedian's name was. All I know is the midget beat him up in the broadcast booth or something. At the end of the movie.
That sounds tremendous.
I know he's been in, like, probably, like, a dozen other little short-budget movies, because I remember seeing, like, way back in the day when I worked at a video store, you'd see, like, covers, and it'd be Piper with a gun or something, but I had no clue what the name of the movie was or what it's about, but he did, like, a whole bunch of those, and I think he would come out on, like, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia as a kind of a somewhat reoccurring character. So he's always stayed busy, and then he did World of Hurt after Lance quit and didn't want to do it no more. They brought in Piper for that one season. And then we learned Piper could play the piano during that season, too.
But he would say sure he with Ric Flair or something like that.
The what?
Wasn't he on Trading Spouses where he and Flair traded wives or something?
Oh, yeah, he did. He did that. And then he was in Legend's House not that long ago.
That's right.
Yeah, you remember when he was like being a loner and went out and like playing with me? It seemed like he went out in the woods by himself and he's just like talking to himself like he's a little crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, that was kind of weird. But, Couture, any other things that we're missing that you want to bring up before we end the show here?
Nothing else. As far as the talkers go, I blew them with Dusty in like the top five, you know, of all times.
Yeah.
Wow.
When it comes to personality and talker. I mean, there's a lot of people, but he's right up there.
They could make like an awesome like movie based on his life.
Sure.
Honestly.
Absolutely. You know?
Yeah, I could see that because he's had that kind of life. I mean, just colorful from the day he was born to basically when he left.
He all comes to Frogtown is free with your Hulu subscription. So I got that. You got that, Craig?
I don't have Hulu right now.
Oh, you don't?
Well, you...
No.
Katrina, you watch Helltown, and Craig, you watch They Live.
I'll look for it.
I couldn't find it. They Live on Netflix or anything, but I see it on something.
Well, I can't. I'm trying to think if we're missing anything, so I guess we'll go ahead and end the show. Is there any other news that we need to talk about? Oh, okay. Let me ask Katrina one question.
Okay.
When I was listening to the Brian show, he brought up the thing about Craig looking like Jaws. And at first I was like, what the hell is he talking about? And then I saw the picture, and then I got my opinion. I'm sure you've seen the picture. Do you think Craig looks like Jaws?
I did not even hear the Brian show, so I don't know what's being talked about.
Yeah.
Like, well, he does have a point. Your head's a little pointy, Craig. Like, Brian made the comment that Craig's head looks like Jaws coming out of the water. And your head is a little pointy in that, Craig. He kind of has a point.
Well,
he's
in here.
Yeah, that's I don't know what to tell you. That's the way my hair was, and that's the angle at which I was shot. So,
You know, I typed in the Roddy Piper into my Roku here. There's like a ton of movies I've never even heard of, and
And he was a star in a bunch of them.
Don't Look Back, Other Plans, Fancy Pants, Alien Opponent, The Mystical Adventures of Billy Owens, Ghosts of Goldfield, Honor, Legion, The Final Exorcism, Three Wise Guys, Hard Time, Dead Tides, Marked Man, Terminal Rush, They Live, Here Comes the Frogtown.
Terminal Rush, that's the one I remember. That's the one I remember, Terminal Rush. Just a, that's a poster I saw. But, yeah, so it sucks that Roddy Piper died. Trying to think if there's any other news, but basically we pretty much talked about it and it's been kind of close.
That NXT thing, those NXT spoilers or something?
Oh, yeah, okay. They taped spoilers yesterday. I'm assuming the first show airs this coming week. And then you have SummerSlam, and then supposedly they filmed for two more weeks. And in what they filmed, they have Sasha with the title, and they have Kevin Owens with the title. So either they're giving you away what exactly happened, and you don't have to watch the pay-per-view, or they deliberately faked two shows to trick everyone, and so people will be surprised if, say, Bayley wins the title come the takeover, or Owens wins the title. And, you know, people have different opinions about that. I kind of would see that as something they could do, because they could just easily do another taping next week. And, you know, that's not a big thing. And some of the matches on that second show were kind of like nothing really. They weren't totally building to any real big angles or anything. So I think it could be like a big red herring. What do you guys think?
It could also be they did a gimmick where they lost and then stole the belts. It could, like, keep the little storyline going, to maybe, like, you know, Owens lost the match, but he stole the belt afterwards and take the Finn Balor or something like that. You know, so, I don't know. Or they could have had maybe Owens won the title. I know with Sami Zayn supposed to come back soon.
I don't think he's coming back.
I'm not thinking they could have maybe they were going to put the title back on him to, like, do he and Sami Zayn again or something like that. I don't know.
What do you think, Craig?
The thing was that they never really – it's been years since they've done stuff. I mean, it feels like it's been, like, the mid-90s since they did something like this. So.
Yeah. Yeah, they might be just doing it to just to mess with people. Who knows? But I don't see – how do I say this? I don't see WWE being that out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just don't see them being that naive that there are spoilers on the internet. Just that's just my opinion. But
do you think it's too blatant?
Exactly.
Yeah. Because, you know, they change the finishes the day of. They'll change the finish the day of just because everyone expects a certain match. You know, it's hard to see them doing this. Like, they're telling you weeks in advance what happened. That just does not make – it doesn't compute with me of them doing that.
Right. Right, that's what
that's
I'm saying.
This isn't 1980. This is, you know,
right.
Everyone knows about it before the taping's even finished. What was going on?
That show's going to be interesting because that'd be like the biggest crowd for NXT ever, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, easily.
Because they run that building 3 nights in a row. I think they sold out every night. So
they're on a roll.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we'll see what happens. It should be a good show. I'm hoping Bayley finally wins.
Yeah, no doubt.
But other than that, I guess we can go ahead and end the show. So, we'll talk to everybody next week, and we'll see you then.
Very simple. All of a sudden, we got a bunch of people writing in. This guy here comes, I don't know, maybe comes sniveling to the people, comes and cries, Roddy Piper didn't give me a chance to say nothing on the pit. Roddy Piper didn't give me a chance to do nothing. You want a chance? Everybody wants to be like Roddy Piper. You want a chance? You want a chance to say something, brother? I'll tell you what, man. Here you go. Take the little microphone. There you go. There you go. Put it in the little greasy paws. You want to do something? Then you go ahead. You say exactly what you want to say to these people. You can do it. Just a second. I want you to wait a second. I want to make you feel at home. Before we start, you want to be the big shot. You want to do all the talking. You want to really think all these people. Cut yourself a pineapple. Want you feel at home. Want you feel like the Fiji Islands. Kind of like the women, you know? Kind of long, crusty hair on top, round on the bottom. Cut your pineapple. You want to be a happy person? What do you want, huh? What do you want? Do you want bananas? Do you want to talk? Go ahead and talk, huh? Go ahead and talk. Wait a second. Do you want bananas? We got bananas. Here we go. You want bananas? Have yourself a banana. Huh? This is what you want. You want to talk? You ain't saying nothing. What's wrong, huh? You want to come up here like a big shot? What do you want? You want coconut. Here I went. I got the coconut. Ah, I just like, there you go. More coconut. I didn't get a tree for you to climb up and down like a monkey, like you want to do. You want to be a big shot? I'll get you a tree next time. You want a banana? Have a banana. What do you want, man?
Am I making fun of you?
Oh, no, sir. No, sir. No, sir.
Thank you.